Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 229, Lexus Colby, fresh off a podium and soda to start the year.
Good old Sarasota, eh?
Sarasota's a dope place.
It is. That's a fantastic spot to be. I think it's just like, there's a lot of people that have been moving to Florida. I think Sarasota is like the hot spot. You got to be in Sarasota. I know it's expensive, but dude, it's so nice there.
It's really nice. Yeah. Do you remember the first time we went there? We went to the beach after practice for the World Cup.
And yep.
The water was like bath water. That was insane.
Incredible. It's just warm. Yeah.
The ocean water, I mean.
Yep. Yeah, not our bath water. In the-
Progate Europe. Winning starts with a great gate. Lexus Colby, great start on a Progate Europe.
Her nickname is Lightning Lexus Colby, you know? So there's a reason why she got that nickname. It's because she's got great starts. It's because she's fast as hell. And guess what? She practices on a Progate Europe. She does all her races, you know, all the big World Cup events, all those, you know, Olympics. She does all those things on a Progate Europe. And the crazy part is you can go buy your track one. If you really want to get your track dialed in, you can just go to this place called Progate Europe. You can exchange currency in different forms, and they will provide you with a gate that just works.
It's unbelievable. These days you can exchange currency. They'll give you a free gate. You just have to exchange currency for it. It's not a big deal.
You don't have to make it. You don't have to find somebody to weld it. You don't have to find, you know, some janky computer guy that's just going to, you know, figure out how to make the call box work properly. No, no, no. Progate Europe does it all in one. All in one shop right there. Comes ready to go.
Presenting sponsor of the show, year 6 of Coffee Chatter, baby.
Absolutely incredible. They're just fantastic. So please hit them up. You know, maybe you just get a free gate based off just us. You never know.
I like that in our Coffee Chatter Google Drive, we got year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Crazy, hey? Just counting it up. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong.
I like that we've saved the show notes. We should go back and look at the first show notes and see what they look like.
Dude, I've done that a few times. So everyone once in a while when we've had like no guests, it's just us bullshitting. You want to get something interesting to talk about. I was like, you know what? It would be fun to go back to an old topic and like see where we've changed compared to 5 years ago. And I've gone back and some of the notes, they're pretty similar, but I have a feeling our thoughts and our opinions would actually be quite the same as they were.
Yeah, I don't think it's probably changed a whole lot either.
I could probably pull one up and it wouldn't take long, but like, I think we're pretty set in our ways still. I mean, there's a few things I've probably switched on. I think the U23, I think I flip-flopped on that a little bit. Maybe not flip-flop, but I went one way to the other. But other than that, I think we're pretty rock solid in what we've done.
Show's pretty much the same format it's always been. Hasn't changed a whole lot.
I'd say slight changes, but yeah, slight changes. We talked about like how our old guests would go completely in depth into like their story. When they turned expert and stuff, when they turned pro, but like, no, yeah, I guess otherwise, other than like maybe keeping it a bit more here and now kind of stuff, it's very similar. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one we did originally? Like maybe the first year? Cause I think we probably did that more the first year because everyone was a first time guest and I feel like everyone wanted to come on obviously and tell their like full story.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one looking back?
It's still got to be like the kind of the normal favorites for the separate reasons. Like Mikey Day, I was always a huge fan. And then just
that one was really good.
He went in depth about like the Olympic trials and stuff, like and how what he said to himself before and all that stuff. Like that's just incredible. Same thing with Safiso, like hearing his story and some of the things he went through. But then also like the Brooke one where she kind of went in with us and just got like deep about it, got emotional. And it was like, dude, that's what we want to hear. Like, nobody loves like just surface level shit. We want the real deal inside stuff. And like, that's what people care to hear. And dude, that's what I care to hear. Yeah.
You know, what's crazy. Those are the three that I thought of too.
For real?
Literally the three that came to my mind are the ones that you said. Yeah.
Crazy. Hey.
Yeah. Mike Day, Safiso, and Brooke. We did them all in 2019. I want to say Like, Brooke was pretty early on. She must have been in, like, the first few months of the show.
She was show 10.
Yeah, and Sofiso and Mike, I think, were more at the end of 2019, from what I remember, which would have been the end of the first season.
Yeah, Mike was 26, which is first season.
Oh, Sofiso. Probably around the same point.
Probably. I'm trying to look now.
But, yeah, those three were all really good.
Yeah.
Super good.
There were a ton, though. Like, you could go through, like, I could pretty much go through our list of season one, and I think every show had something that was crazy, because it was, one, it was the first time we were doing it. Two, I think we still, like, I mean, it's just how it is. We have some of the biggest names in the first season, because we wanted all the best people we could to just start off with a bang.
Fucking roll it out with a bang.
Crazy.
That was the plan, yeah.
But no, yeah, like, dude, like, everybody, you go through here, it's like, you have Neek on here. Talk about Neek, like Elise, like Liam, Nick, Smulders.
You know what one was?
Oh my god,
really tough. The first time we had Maris on, the quality was crap.
Oh yeah,
straight crap.
Instantly, we're like, that's gonna be our first redo one.
I remember during the show, we're just thinking, oh boy, oh boy. And you know what? I think that I actually think this was the one time it actually wasn't our fault. I think the reception was crap on his end. I don't think it was.
That's what I'm talking about. Doing. Throw it on him, baby. Throw it on him.
I fuck you, I Maris. Maris, you botched your first show.
Two-time gold medalist. No, camp. I got some better Wi-Fi. What are we doing?
I think it actually was his sound quality, for whatever reason, wasn't good. And I remember it not necessarily being our fault.
I don't even remember it. So that's probably because I tuned it out.
Not that it matters at the end of the day, because we're the ones posting it. And if it's crap, it looks it comes on us anyway. Yep. So yeah.
Kind of like the anyway, that first Romaine one we did too.
You know what? I think if we didn't say anything about that one, I don't think people would know the fact that we had to stop recording 8 times because the reception was absolute crap.
I think that was the first show I had to do some major editing on the audio. Like, just the first one I went through, like, every like dead spot, I think I tried to cut out pretty much most. And I was like, this is painful. We can't have this ever again.
I did it in the car at the beach.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh my god. I'm like, tell me the other ones here too. Yeah. Crazy.
All right, we gotta touch on the door flying off the Boeing 737 aircraft. Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude,
are you kidding me?
We got two major things to talk about. This is the first one, the second one. Unreal. How does this happen? How does a door fly off on a plane? If anybody hasn't seen this, you're crazy. You need to see this. Plane is just fucking flying without a door.
I mean, hashtag not an airplane podcast, but I'm glad no one was killed. But crazy. No one was killed.
No, they just, confirmed. From what I hear, the door flew off. Fucking, they emergency landing, but they just basically cruised her down, landed it safe. Yeah.
First of all, good job, pilots. Second of all, how does this happen? Third of all, this makes me not want to fly.
Crazy. I mean, the fact that the door flew off and everyone's fine should make you feel more comfortable, I think. Because how many times does a door fly off? This is first time in how long since that's probably happened?
Dude, that door flies off and you're on the plane, you're thinking you're dead instantly.
You better, yeah, you are. 100%. Like, turbulence, you can be a little bit scared. You're like, oh shit, like, this could go wrong. But you're like, I'll probably be safe. Door flies off, you think something's significantly wrong.
Yeah. Holy shit. So, wow. There was a huge, obviously, big flight delays yesterday, Monday, because they grounded like 170 flights that all had the same aircraft or whatever. Yeah.
I still think the craziest part of this entire situation is the fact that it happened to an airline that wasn't fucking Spirit, that wasn't one of those janky. Well,
Boeing's the manufacturer, though. They're not the airline.
No, I know. So I don't even know what Spirit's like aircraft is. I don't know what they fly. I don't know what those other airlines, like what are the small little ones? Like, Spirit's one of them. A Flair is another one, like
JetBlue. Or whatever.
Like, how did this happen to like an Alaska Airlines flight, not like one of those ones? That's just a big miss. It's a big miss.
I could be wrong, but I think there's only, like, I don't know if there's only two, but there's two main aircraft manufacturers, Airbus and Boeing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's that's what it is too.
So what must happen is like they make the aircraft, but Boeing would have like, they just get, I guess the airlines buy these models and then just stick their stickers on it. Basically, so it's really the same plane, I guess.
Yeah. Basically, right. But they probably just get cheaper insides for like the cheaper flights, you know. But still, I don't know why. It feels like if this was ever going to happen, it would be one of those cheap ones where, if anything, they're probably cutting corners there. They're not, Alaska Airlines is not like a I don't know. It's not a huge airline company, but it's definitely not one of the small ones that you think
of. No, it's well known.
Yeah.
Like it's not like a, janky little airline company. You know, it's a pretty big company.
That's crazy, dude. Like it would have been way funnier if it happened to one of these like Flair Airlines or Spirit Airs or Ryanair, where it's just like people know they're cutting corners in places to make flights cheap. But yeah.
Have you seen the Netflix documentary on Boeing? I watched it like maybe 2 years ago.
No.
Whole about the two 730, was it two or three? Three, like the 737. I can't remember the name of the, model, but it crashed a couple, like a few times. Like just three the one times
that,
maybe?
The one that was having electric, like it had an issue and they kept.
No, it had some issue where they would like point the nose down. Mm. And if the, basically, from what I remember, the pilots weren't trained properly. And like the airlines and the manufacturer didn't like properly train the pilots or tell them or something. And then, yeah, like three airlines crashed.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's... Boeing is just, boy, do they have some bad press the last few years.
It's a really good thing they're one of two companies in the whole industry that is just $1 billion industry.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that was something. I couldn't believe what I was watching yesterday on the news.
I thought it was a joke one. Like, you know when you see those things come across? I saw it on Instagram first or Twitter. I can't remember. But I thought it was one of those ones where somebody was making like a joke. It's like, oh, yeah, fucking door blew off a plane. Yeah, haha. It's like, it was probably grounded or something. No. It was mid-flight. You know, the other question I haven't figured out, where did the door go? Where were they? Where was the flight over?
Can you imagine you're just like in your house and all of a sudden your fucking door just drops on? It's like, seriously, like that could just incinerate somebody.
Oh, yeah. That's going right through your house from like through the roof, 100%. Into the basement. 100%, yeah.
So I didn't even think of that. That's a good question.
I have no idea what I didn't look into it much after to see what flight it was, where it was, but it very well could have been a city it just fell into. So,
in BMX news, Cam Larson, answer BMX S-Squared, get yours today. Just let him cook, baby. Day one winner.
Day one. What a team debut that was.
Fuck yeah.
Unbelievable. The guy just did it right for the new team. I mean, just in Florida where Answer is based, and he just goes out for a win for the boss. I'll just say for the boss man, like for the team and everyone from stuff. But it's like, what a way to sign with a new team.
We talk about Answer BMX S Squared, just the absolute wagon of a team it is right now, especially.
Unbelievable.
Cam Larson, Jack Davis, Lauren Reynolds, Felicia Stancil. That's a pro team.
Get yours today.
What a wagon.
I love that they have like they have a pro team. Like they have their multiples. They have two women, they have two men that are racing the series, racing on the circuit of the US and international. It's super fun. Super fun to be part of the brand or feel like, you know, that's our old home. Like we're still gonna cheer for the riders that are on that team. And it's fun that they got riders that are fun to cheer for.
It's great to have like teammates to root for and also like all four of them that we like and are friends with.
I definitely Cam's win looked almost routine. Like I know he was flying the end of last year, but the race, just like I watched in the rounds, I watched the semi. It was like, hey, clicking them off, main event. It just looked like clicked another one off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He looked awesome. And congrats to Alf Dog too. Day two winner.
Huge win. I think you called him there. I think we mentioned him, said he was going to be, I didn't know if he was even going to race there. Cause these days Alpha, you know, you never know where he shows up in my opinion, but he is always, you know, at the races, especially the ones in Florida. Now he's based there. So he was ripping.
Very small pro race. Like the women had total points and the men, I believe, had semis.
Yep.
I think they had quarters.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of guys weren't there, which is too bad. Like you want to see everyone there.
Especially at a Sarasota one. Like it's a supercross. It's a big first season opener. I think this has happened a few times now, though, in my opinion. When they're having the season opener so early, I just feel like it's been smaller in the past, like the recent couple years that they've had it so early. And then you add on top of it, it's Olympic year with World Cups early in a different continent. I think it just sucks for the opener because then it is small. Like the quality of guys that were there was still like fantastic. There were still a lot of top guys there and made it really entertaining. But you look at the women's class, like the quality was there, but they had five people. So it's a bummer.
Total points is a bummer.
Ah, I know. It's like,
it's tough.
It's enjoyable to watch when it's three rounds and it's at the top, but when it's five of them and it's like, yeah, it's just not the same.
What a, like a not tiring weekend that would be to race just total points both days.
Sick, eh?
you're not even really tired after a weekend like that.
All right, cool. Let's get back to it on Monday. Like,
it's not, like in terms of physical exertion, it's not up there with other race days.
No. No, it's not. I mean, Sarasota is not like a, I wouldn't say, it's not the most tiring track, but it definitely like the last two straights can be tiring for sure. But if you're only doing six laps in a weekend, that's really not much. Comparatively speaking to normally you're doing like what, 10 laps, 10 to 12?
We should also shout out Josh McLean with the UCI win on Sunday. First win back from his broken ankle at the Grands 2 years ago. So good to see him back in good form and looked racy on the weekend in his new colors.
He did. Yeah, he did. He looked good. I mean, he put down some good laps. There was, I feel like a good handful of guys really looked like they've, once again, smaller race maybe, but they were kind of like in the mix always. Like, I was watching a good amount of people seeing how, like, feels like they were riding really well. Like, Ricardo was riding well. Lito just had him on the show, him as well. So it was like, it was a really entertaining race to watch, that was for sure.
Yeah, I know, especially speaking of Joey Lito, he didn't have the greatest day the first day, I believe. Mm-hmm. First day? Yeah, and he rode much better on the weekend.
Good, it was a good bounce back day, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So that was
and obviously like those guys are pretty dialed on those tracks too. They're obviously no strangers to them. And with racing in like your home area where you're living, plus your home track, like not only do you want to do well, but you have an extra bit of juice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's that extra bit of comfort. Everyone we've talked with so many times now, you're looking for that extra 0.1%. Or even like 0.5%, even that's which would be big. You're gonna get a lot of that if you're much more comfortable in the area, more comfortable on the track, stuff like that. I'm curious how much like someone like McLean. I don't know if he rides in Sarasota that often. Same with like Larson and them. Like obviously they came down, I think, for the race. Probably rode the track the week of the race, but on a weekly basis in the regular season, we'll say. I wonder how much they're actually riding Sarasota because I think they just spend most of their time in Tampa and Oldsmar. Mm-hmm.
Josh seems like more of an Oldsmar guy. I don't think I haven't seen him ride Sarasota a ton.
No, neither.
From the socials.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm kind of curious about that. But yeah, nonetheless, I mean, look fast. That track's always entertaining too because of the inside Supercross hill on the first straight. Mm-hmm. So it makes it interesting on gate picks. Like lane one's normally not the first pick. Outside's often a pick or a middle lane is often a first pick, which is crazy.
I was going to say lane four or five are just excellent at Sarasota.
If you had first pick, like, are you still taking like a 4 or 5, or you think you'd want to go like an 8? Like, would you just give yourself the room out there?
You know what? It's funny. I raced there once, the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I still remember this. I got into I had fourth pick in the main. Corbin went 4, Maris went 1, and Torres went, no. Corbin went 4, Maris went 8, Torres went 1. So the first three picks went 1, 4, and 8. So I picked 5 next to Corbin.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, looking at the corner, and especially if you're going fast, it's probably the best line to hole shot.
Yeah. Yeah, those middle to outsides, I could say, yeah, the 5-6 range is a perfect setup to the inside, in my opinion, on that one.
So. I think you don't pick one with first pick. It's, like, it's hard to not pick one because whenever it's open, like, you just want to pick it, but you have no room after the second jump.
Now you got to try to get over to the right and then cut back into the turn. Really tough.
Yeah. Like, the first race longer that way. So. It's like Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Which I've seen some videos of that track. I cannot believe we all raced World Cups there in the past.
Still wild.
Boy, is that place so tight. Oh my God.
And would you say it's more mellow than it used to be for sure? Like, than
100% it's more mellow. 100% it's more mellow. I remember in 2016 when there was a World Cup there, it was like a graveyard, people getting carted off.
So bad.
Jay Smooth in new colors.
Yeah, it was kind of good to see. It was kind of a little bit of a surprise, I'll say that. I did not think Hyper was going to be in the mix. I didn't think he was leaving DK because it was only, the week before the race he posted a picture, maybe a couple days before. It's out of nowhere.
Boy, he has been a staple on DK forever.
It's been a long time. I mean, he used to ride for them before, went to Stay Strong for a bit, but it just feels like he's been the DK guy.
It 100% feels like he's the DK guy.
So kind of weird, kind of crazy to see him go. And like I said, surprising of Hyper. I mean, Nick, at the end of his pro career, he went to Hyper for, what was it, a year or two maybe? And it's kind of like, oh, maybe they're trying to make a comeback. And then after that left, I mean, it just, once again, they were gone again. And I was like, Hyper is one of those brands that's, to me, is like an old school brand in a sense. They were around when I was younger, had a nice, good team, cool bike before, and then they just disappeared. And I'm like, okay, it's one of those ones that just you're never going to see again. And then every now and again, somebody pops up like this and it's like, okay, are they making a comeback? Like, what's going on here? Mm.
I think it's cool when like riders and BMX or athletes in any sports stick with one brand for their entire career or a large portion of it. Cause then you begin to associate both with each other.
100%. Right. Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. So I think it's the best way to do it too, because it helps both the brand and the rider, in my opinion.
It's like a Tiger Woods Nike situation, which that is a. I know we're not a golf podcast. But Tiger and Nike Woods parting ways after like fucking 25 years is a story.
That was my second big topic we need to chat about. And you know what? Fuck it. We're going to talk about it right now. What a miss by Nike. Are you crazy? You're going to let
this
guy go?
There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason.
You're insane. He's holding up the whole Nike Golf brand on his own. And I mean, I know Nike Golf isn't big. They probably don't even give a shit about Nike Golf. They got enough money and shoes, every other sport out there. But I don't care, dude. Like, I will go buy Nike stuff because of Tiger still. It's like, who
else? They don't make clubs anymore.
No, they don't. I don't think they even make a bunch of clothes anymore, really. They don't give a shit.
Tiger wasn't even, the last like year or two, he wasn't even wearing the Nike shoes when he played.
I know.
Which is shocking. Which is absolutely shocking that he wasn't.
It's a miss. They're an idiot. You're crazy if you're Nike and you're not figuring it out for him.
There must be a reason. They must have looked at what they're paying and what they're bringing in. Just be like, well, we got other players that are still really good in golf. We don't need.
There's no way somebody's looking at Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and being like, you know what? I like that shirt he's wearing on fucking Saturday or Sunday. I'm gonna go buy it. No. Dude, mm-hmm.
I agree.
What other athlete owns a color on a day?
That's a very good point.
I know Michael Jordan has shoes. He has Air Jordan. He has like, he's the only one with the most iconic shoe in the world, I'd say. But no other athlete out there.
Yeah.
You wear red. You wear a red sweater on a Sunday and somebody's like, oh, you Tiger Woods fan? It's like, dude, no, I just have a red sweater. It's like, it's instantly Tiger Woods, dude.
That's a good point. Yep. No, I can't disagree. I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree. Maybe he left.
He might have. And that I would be still furious, but he might have. You're right.
Yeah, maybe he was unhappy with some stuff and left, considering that he wasn't wearing their shoes. Maybe he's like, well,
why am I doing this kind of thing? Is there what athlete? I know this is, we're not going to have an athlete ever to compare like that. Who's the biggest athlete to brand we've seen in BMX? Like a athlete brand connection, like relationship. What's the biggest one we've seen?
Connor and Chase is pretty. What's the word?
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what the word is. Together.
Yeah. Like because he started with them, right?
Yeah. So they started the brand and he was the first rider. So like the brand and Connor grew together. So yeah, I would say Connor and Chase. I mean,
yeah, it's a good point. I'd say him for sure then. Yeah. It's almost an easy one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he was the guy and he helped build the brand really as the guy.
I'd say Joris hasn't been on Chase long enough for sure. He didn't start with them. I'd say Sam on Redline could have been, but Redline was such a big company before. They had so much before.
But you know what? Bubba and Redline is pretty.
Yeah.
What's the word? Synergistic?
That's a sick word. Synergistic. The old fucking Easton synergy.
Synergistic?
That Easton synergy, you get it.
One piece.
No, I think Bubba he would have been too, but he moved her. They dropped him in a time where they shouldn't have dropped him, in my opinion, too. He went to Supercross, and now a lot of people. The new school people think of Bubba with Supercross.
Yeah, probably. I would say Bubba, Redline, and Connor and Chase would be the ones that come to mind for me.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody in Europe that really has that kind of brand relevancy. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess.
I mean, to me, like, Nick and Haro is pretty.
Dude, that was pretty, it too.
Yeah, it's like.
That was the same. If they stuck with him to the end. I mean, he still is. He just. They skipped a few years, I guess, a couple years. If they just stuck with it, through it all with him, because they kind of did at the end there, I mean, that would have been it too.
Yeah.
He was Haro to me. Yeah. Nick was always Haro. Still is.
I agree. Yeah. Crazy. So another Florida race this weekend, Punta Gorda. The third straight is a bit of a circus, and I love it.
Oh, man, a cars track. Oh, Punta Gorda, Florida.
Dude, the third straight is going to be something. Is it so it looks faster to go to the right.
So I was a local there for, a couple months. And by local, I means I was living there, but I rode there maybe once.
I mean, going over looks faster, I mean.
Yeah, I think going over is faster because you come down the second straight. The second straight splits into a pro side and am side. Then you come around a little bit more than a 90, and then you got to cut back to the right to go under the bridge, whereas you can just rail the turn, go straight over the bridge, which is a little bit slow. It's slow going over the bridge there. But when you make that next like left turn, left 90, you got two jumps, ripping. And then you're on the inside of the turn. I'd say it's definitely, that's got to be faster. Hey, what race is this? This is just a regular national?
It's a national, yeah.
Okay, yeah. ABA national, yeah.
So is anyone taking the other side? Probably not, huh?
I mean, the jump's like maybe too big for the younger riders to go over the bridge and still be fast, so I'm not sure.
How do you feel about these types of layouts with races?
Kind of think we should bring them back more. And this is me flopping on probably something I used to say, but it's like for these races, it's not a standard issue UCI World Cup event. They're not going to a place you need a specific standard, in my opinion. Let's make it fun. Make BMX like crazy, wild fun again.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely here for different layouts. The one thing I will say, I'm not a fan of 90-degree first corners. That's a little tough, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Not that it's the end of the world, but it makes inside like significantly advantageous.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan either. I mean, I'm trying to think what other tracks have a 90 first turn.
Not many.
No. So. No, I can't think of any other ones. I think you need a 180 first turn. I'm thinking even the only other track that came to mind that's not a 180 is Circle City in Alabama. It's Dothan.
That's the other track I was thinking
of. And that's
of.
What is that?
I've never been there, but yeah.
It's like it's not a 360. It's probably, what, a 270 first turn?
Yeah.
Crazy.
How was it to race that one?
Dude, the first straight was awesome and long, but it was downhill into the weird ass turn. It's really, first straight and the last straight were great, but everything in between was jank.
I mean, the first straight is like Nashville-esque. Kinda.
Yeah, 100% it is. Yeah, which is really cool. Like that was really fun. There was a big lip on the first jump that you had to pull manual well, I think, if it was the first jump. Yeah. So.
All right, quick poll. We'll ask Lexi too. She's coming on like a minute.
She's in the chat right now.
All right, bring her in. We'll ask her.
Okay.
We'll
ask her. Curious to know what the question would be. Alexis Colby entering the podcast as we speak. Give it a second.
Yeah, she's here.
There we go.
So Lexi, first question, what state has the best tracks?
What state?
Yeah.
Putting
you on the spot early.
Shoot. I mean, probably Florida because they have like the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have two Supercross hills too. So probably Florida.
Are there a lot of tracks in AZ?
There's three like within an hour of
Phoenix,
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's two in Tucson, but really only one DV's track.
There's two in Tucson?
Yeah, the other one is I don't know who really goes there, but
and then there's Kingman also, right?
What?
There's Kingman also.
What was that? One more time?
There's
Kingman. Oh yeah, Kingman. Yeah. That's Kingman, yeah. That's super far away though. That's like closer to Nevada.
Yeah.
How
was the trip home? No doors blew off on the flight? All good?
No, all good. I had to spend 7 hours in the Houston airport, but it was all good. I missed my connection. And then my flight got canceled, so then I had to get on a new one. And yeah, it was just a mess. And then to top it all off, my bike didn't even make it, so I had to go back and pick it up today. It was rough.
Sometimes it just doesn't go right with traveling. If it goes
you gotta
wrong,
pay your
it
dues,
really
James.
Just goes all wrong.
This is what we talk about. You got to pay your dues once in a while with the travel.
<That's true.
laughs> Right. Hopefully we got all the way before international travel. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the thought of like a does thought of a plane door flying off terrify you or no?
Oh, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, holy. I don't even, yeah, that's terrifying.
I was saying to Tori, I mean, I don't, like, if they're all fine, if a door flies off now, I don't think I'm going to be that scared. It's going to be like, oh, fuck, no, one of these incidents again, you know?
Fuck yeah, you'd be scared. Are you kidding me? A door flies off?
It's going to be like, motherfucker, now we got to go back, and now we got to land the plane.
Oh my God, yeah. Anyway, so, good job on the podium this weekend. What are your thoughts on the weekend?
The weather wasn't ideal, for sure. It was, you know, not the best circumstances. Started off the weekend not the best. I only had like an hour of practice before actual race day. But started to find some groove on Saturday, so it felt good. But yeah, I mean, good first race of the season. Felt like a little training race for the World Cups coming up. So yeah.
I didn't realize it was so windy. Was it, which day was the super windy, on Friday?
Friday wasn't too bad. But Saturday, during the day, it was super bad. That's why we waited till after the amateurs. Cause they were on rain delay earlier and then the wind was just like straight side. So, but luckily it died down. So
we were talking about Sarasota being such a, like a great place. That is the one really bad part about it. It's so windy
there. Yeah. Yeah. And then Sunday morning was just absolutely insane. Like there was a couple crashes and, oh yeah, we did not want to go off the big hill at all.
I saw that. Yeah, without small fail. Hill, right? Went small hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say without fail, every supercross track is windy. Like this time.
Yeah. I mean, really especially wonder, the it? Side, like head tail is fine, but side wind is just scary.
Yeah.
The pro quick, small hill people are out there right now just laughing at us. Mm, just, oh, these fucking idiots. Right.
quick turnaround from the grands. How's that? Like obviously oftentimes there's, you know, you have a bit more time to prepare and everything. Did you just take any time off after the grands or anything?
Yeah, I took some time off after the grands. I went to Nashville to have a late celebration for my birthday with my sister. Nice. And then, yeah, I mean, went straight back into it. I basically trained all the way up to this national. So it was a big off season, but finally done with that and just gonna prep for the upcoming races. So, yeah.
What are the upcoming races for you? I guess the World Cups?
Like, yeah, Arizona first. Okay. I'm super excited for Winter Nationals and then yeah, going to New Zealand and Australia. Hell yeah.
What do you think of the international travel? Like you've been doing it for a bit now. You like it? You like the World Cups?
I think doing both series is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of racing in a year. Especially with the World Cups being so late last year and then so early this year. Feels like we don't really get a break, but I like it. Other than I'm a home buddy when I get home. But it's fun. I mean, the group we go with is super fun. So, yeah.
You guys have a good, that group of girls. What do we call them? We called you guys Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. Yeah, where did that come from? I don't know.
I think it was somebody messaged us and said, like, we were trying to think of a name for, like, your group of girls that have just been coming to the class. And someone said Spice Girls. Like, yeah, roll with it. See, it works.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. But no. I think we were listening to something and we were like, oh, they started calling us the Spice Girls. That was so funny.
It's perfect name. So you guys have a really good, like young, talented group of girls. Like, is it fun to travel and ride together and everything?
Oh yeah. We can definitely like base everything off of like, you know, if one person hits it. So that's really fun. I think like ever since we were young, we've been getting more skilled together as a group. Like we just kind of like, I think we all just saw each other doing all of these things. So all of us wanted to do it too. And I think it was really good for our group specifically. I mean, like me, Kenzie, Peanut, Delaney, Spice Girls. We've been growing up together. So yeah,
it's been fun to watch you guys transition in the class because like the skill side of things, it feels like you guys brought something in there where it's like before sometimes the new people coming into the class maybe weren't up to the level of skill of like some of the top girls, but you guys obviously are. So it's been really entertaining to watch. Yeah.
It was fun to have like all of us join the pro class like at the same time too. I thought that was kind of cool.
How long has it been? What, 2 years, 3 years in the pro class now?
Yeah, 3 years. So
What's the transition to Supercross been like for you? Because I know in AZ, obviously, there's no Supercross hill to practice. And it can be tough when you can't ride it day in and day out.
Yeah, so I think this past year was, like, the most I've ever rode Supercross, for sure. So I think now, like, I'm getting more comfortable on it. But, yeah, it was a little tough in the beginning, just, like, having to go to the track and getting, like, one or two practice sessions before the race. And not being able to ride that hill all the time, but now me and Delaney try and go out to Chula once in a while too. So that helps too.
How's that track out there? I saw they built some new track out in there. I think they're calling it Beijing Supercross.
Yeah. It's brand new. It's great. Honestly.
It's sick.
They even redid the wood at the top. It's way better.
There's no holes in the Supercross hill now.
No, not anymore.
That's good. It does look like they've actually, it seems like now that, I don't even see now. It goes through waves, but they obviously redid the surface and everything. And then you and Delaney were out there. I saw like Anthony, Lauren out there as well, like other people riding it. Seems like they are caring about maintaining it, so you guys have somewhere to train again, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that they're keeping that one alive for sure.
What's been the hardest thing to get used to on Supercross in terms of racing it?
I think one of my biggest problems was like the dive after the kink. Like I wasn't really used to that. And then like really being over the front of the bike on the first jump. Like I wasn't really used to that either. I guess, and the push at the transition. It's so different to really attack it, I guess, compared to a small hill. But yeah, just been working on it as much as I can when I go to these Supercross hills. So yeah.
Yeah, working on the timing of it can be tough. Like, there's more components to it than just mashing pedals to the first jump. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Just put your head down and stomp it.
Yeah.
You definitely stepped up, though. I mean, the last couple of years you've been flying. Like, what do you think you've changed, or what's changed the most for you to be able to step it up like you have?
I honestly think like a lot of it was mental, because you know, like 2018, 2019 to 2021, like I was going through injury after injury, and it was just like, I felt like I was just couldn't get out of this hole. And then obviously I acquired many mental blocks and fears from those crashes. So just kind of like getting over those and being able to reach my full potential and when I'm racing and everything like that, and, you know, being able to have that confidence in myself, I think that's been really helping me and just letting me achieve what I can do.
How'd you start jumping when you were younger? Like, did you ride with older riders or anything like that?
What was that?
Did you ride with older riders, anything like that?
Yeah. So when I was like 10 years old, obviously Arizona isn't known for dirt jumps, but I was training with Bubba at the time. So he built me so many dirt jumps in my backyard, and he just made me basically learn it. I had crashes, but yeah, it was great.
That's sick. I didn't know you knew Bubba for that long. That's cool that he was so helpful then.
Yeah, I used to go to his super camps when I was like 5 years old. So yeah. I've known him forever.
When you think of Bubba, what brand do you associate him with?
Supercross.
Oh, see, sorry. Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Well, I feel like he's just been Supercross for so long now. But were you guys going to say Redline?
I mean, that's what like I think of, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. I mean, I wasn't really in the BMX world at that time, though, too. So that's young Bubba.
Yeah.
That's all right, Tor. Alexis, she's biased now. She's, you know, same team, you know, biased.
Yeah,
that's right.
by the way, congrats on the new ride.
Thank you.
How did that all come about?
It's cool to be on his team with him, so.
Yeah. How did that come about? Because I know you were with your other team, Gordy's. You were with them for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually got to keep Gordy's as a co-sponsor, so that's cool. Super awesome. Thankful for that. But yeah, I mean, I was in Argentina, and Bubba gave me the call that Bill wanted me on, and I was like, all right, let me have a talk with him when I get home. And yeah, it's been great. So that's
cool. Did you have any older women you looked up to growing up that you tried to model your riding style after, or that really inspired you?
I thought Carly Free was awesome.
She was good.
I was on Redmond while she was like in her prime stage, and I just remember her throwing the fattest whips and just being the most skilled rider. And yeah, I think that's when I was really just like, yeah, like I want to be able to jump and all that stuff. So it was cool.
I look like an idiot right now. Who's Carly Free? I'm trying to look her up
right now. Oh, palm dead.
Come on. Don't do me like this. Someone just say something here.
I mean, she's a good rider, and I remember her. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, obviously this year being an Olympic year and everything, big year, you're still young, but you got a shot at this year. What are your goals for this year?
Yeah. I mean, sorry. My dog just opened.
Dog's coming in. What kind of dog do you have?
But I think really is just to improve my results from last year in the international season. I think I want to stay a little bit more consistent with the World Cups, because last year it was going up and down. But yeah, that's my main goals. I want to win a USA BMX Pro race. And yeah, and if the Olympics happen, then that'd be awesome. That's definitely one of the goals for sure.
One of the cool things I've kind of, I think you did was you didn't race U23, even though you could have, I think for what, a year or two, or could you still now?
Yeah, I still can. Okay. I turned 22 this year, so I believe that this would be my last year in U23. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like since the U23 class came when we were in elite already, it was kind of like an awkward position for me where if I to go down to it as if we weren't already racing elite in the US. And then the one year that they did introduce U23, I didn't really know much about it. And that weekend in Tulsa for national champs, I was talking about racing U23 for national champs, but I didn't even get the chance to. So I had no U23 points on board. So I ended up making the world's team for elite women. And I felt like after that, I was kind of just, would be wrong to switch down. I don't know. And plus I just wanted to keep getting more experience in the elite class because that's my end goal, of course.
Love it. Hop into it.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, there's kind of like two ways to go about it. You either, you know, take your time at U23, maybe get some experience doing a little deal better, maybe getting some wins, or you hop in and you feel what the real deal is like, you know, going out, throwing elbows down the hill with like the top girls. It's like one way or another, you have to do that eventually. So it's like, you might as well do it as early as you can, in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah. That was kind of my mindset. A couple people definitely were asking me why I wasn't. And yeah, I just explained like, we're going to have to do it one day. So why not?
What have you learned from racing the international series? Because obviously the World Cups are quite different from racing in the US, just from format and competition and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely got to be on time for those call times when they call you up.
Yeah.
The hill. It's definitely a little bit different though. I kind of like how the timings work. I think it's just a little bit more, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. It just goes faster, faster racing. And then, but it's a lot more competitive. I feel like it's a lot more pressure. Yeah. I think that's one thing I really didn't realize, like after I made that main in Turkey, I felt a little bit more pressure on the season, you know, having Olympic points on the board. And I think that's kind of what happened at the end of season. Like I just wasn't fully there mentally, because in Turkey I was ready to go. I wanted to race. I'd gotten one quarter the past year in Colombia, and that was it. Other than that, I was LCQ'd. So yeah, just the pressure, handling it differently. But yeah, that's mainly it.
We're talking with Joey last show. Like it's a different beast, and it takes a little bit of time to get used to it. Like you say, all those little bits kind of add up. Like the way they seed you guys into the races, the way the laps go a little quicker, the way each lap counts a little bit more because for lane pick, like everything just adds up, I feel like, and it takes some time to kind of get comfortable with all that.
Right. Yeah. The first couple World Cups I did, like, obviously I didn't have any UCI points, so I was always on the outside, which definitely is like not ideal, but yeah, you just kind of have to work your way up in the points to get better picking. And yeah, but I think it's fair. But yeah, definitely different.
Do you like that they use transponders now at the USA races? Cause I know obviously it was always kind of the funny thing before, they never did. It was just like luck of the draw before.
Yeah. I mean, Rock Hill, like none of us knew like really how they were using the transponders. So it was a little confusing, but once we figured out how it was, I mean, I think for into the semis, we should still use points because like it just goes off of the third round lap time. So if you have a bad lap, then you're screwed for a semi pick.
Yeah.
But I think for like main pick off of semis, that would be super beneficial. But yeah, that third round, like everyone's just stressing to have a good lap time. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, they've always done it that way too, like at World Cups when they used to have photos and stuff. You could go 1-1 like 4 and you're screwed for your lane pick.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's gotta go points and time. Like you gotta do the combo. If two people have the same points, okay, then you go off time. and so on.
Right. Yeah. I think they do points and time, but the time is just for gate pick.
Yeah. Kind of weird. Different things. I don't know which one I definitely like the transponders, but like there's definitely times where it's kind of dumb where it's like, Sator, it's like, cool, you have 1-1-4 and then you're screwed. It's like, well, I was been winning all day here otherwise. Like,
right.
So the first two motos are almost throwaways in terms of like what scores you need. Go ahead, James.
I actually don't know. So what track are you riding out usually in Arizona there? What's your home track?
So sometimes I ride Chandler, but it's mainly Goodyear and Black Mountain. Right now it's Black Mountain because we got the National coming up. So.
Yeah. How's the new track out there? Because I know since Bubba took over, they've changed it twice actually, right?
Yeah, this new track build I'd say is better than the last one for sure. Nice. But yeah, I mean, it's good. He's been working on it a bunch, so I think it's going to be primed by the National. And yeah, he's been doing super good job with it out there.
What do you do in the AZ, in the summer in AZ in terms of training outside? So when it's 1:15, do you just get outside and run it, or do you try and go like morning to evening situation?
We either go at like literally 7 a.m. or like 7 at night. So if you do sprints midday, you're done. Pass out.
But it's already, I mean, 7 a.m., it's already like 100 degrees probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Midsummer, yeah, it's like 95.
Crazy. Do you have a tough time going to somewhere cold then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I hate the cold. I absolutely hate it.
But what about if you go somewhere super humid? Because that's also obviously really different.
Oh, yeah. Florida, I die too. I can't do humidity.
Like if you race like a hot, humid weather. Yeah.
I was loving Argentina. It was dry and everyone was complaining. I was like, nah, this is my type of weather.
Yeah. But if you go race like a summer race in, I don't know if they have summer races in Florida.
Like
a hot Rock Hill or Nashville or something where it's like just
Worlds
like.
And Rock Hill is going to be rough.
When it's just like, you feel like you can't breathe because it's so hot and humid.
Yeah. I'm just like, my gloves are just wet. I'm like, oh, this is awful.
I think it makes a big difference. If you go to a race and you're not used to the climate, or if you are, it can be a big advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say so.
Like the cold weather is like, I'm very comfortable just wearing a jacket until it's time to hop on the gate. Then you toss it off. A lot of people probably hate that.
I do.
You guys are all both warm weather places.
I'm not used to cold weather anymore.
It's about to get like minus 10 here, minus 15 the next like this weekend. It's crazy.
It's gonna be minus 10
Celsius, not Fahrenheit, but yeah, dude, crazy.
Okay, minus 10 Celsius, pretty fucking cold still. I think it actually is. They say when you get to negative, it kind of is the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know when, but yeah, I know it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got some questions from the grandstands. Let's see if you have anything else for Lexi James.
No, we can hop to those. We got a bunch of those.
All right, let me pull them up. Do you have them or is it just me?
Yeah, I'll go for the first one. From Gene Ganson, do you name your bikes?
I don't, but in the last Supercross YouTube video, Bill asked me if I had a name, and then I let the viewers decide. And I think I picked Bolt. I think I like Bolt the best.
Oh, that's a good
Bolt?
One.
Bolt? That's a great name.
Yeah. Did you choose the colorway, by the way? Because that's kind of like, it's your signature color now, right?
Yeah, I did. I just told him teal, and yeah, he sent it to me, and it was great. I mean,
it looks sick. It looks really good.
Better than I could ever imagine, yeah.
Palm Daddy, what did you, didn't you name your?
Oh, I named all my bikes.
I'm going to let you answer. Yeah, what'd you name your bikes?
Which one?
I know you named your golf club like Delilah.
Yeah, my golf club is Delilah and Delilah Jr. Hey there, Delilah. Yeah, that one. I named all my bikes, dude.
What'd you name your bikes?
The white one was
Casper.
Yeah, the white one was Casper. It had multiple segments. I think I was on to Casper 2.0 was the last one, I think. I had a Casper 1, mm-hmm. Casper 1.2, and then a 2.0. I think the black one was Pearl for the Black Pearl. Yeah, or something like that.
That's pretty good.
That's something ridiculous. And yeah, so they all had a name, dude.
I think I named one Seabiscuit once.
I think Eli people should name their bikes. I think it's hilarious.
It's pretty fun, actually. Eli Shaw, most challenging U.S. track?
Probably Sarasota. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any others, though.
I feel like it's one that you can't really, like, just jump on and, like, be okay with racing.
What about Hardesty?
Probably that one, too. I just feel like that one I'm just so comfortable with now. So it's like,
Yeah, I just got that one fucking wired, so it's not a problem.
I mean, it's basically our second home, so
yeah, but, I guess,
yeah, that one is pretty challenging for sure.
I guess we didn't ask, but pretty exciting to have a home World Cup in the U.S. this year. It's been a minute.
Yeah, home Worlds and home World Cup.
Yeah,
it's exciting. I'm super excited.
I feel like hardest to you guys. I think we'll have the advantage being home track. Rock Hill, I feel like the track is almost too mellow. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yeah. I feel like it's a pretty easy track to get to learn and everything like that. I mean, yeah. But hard to see, hopefully. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the advantage, I don't think, is necessarily the track. I think it's just racing at home.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okay. 100%. Enough, 100%.
Yeah. A little bit more hype, you know?
Yeah. I will say, like, you're right. Sarasota is not an easy one to just hop on if you're not a huge supercross person, but like to hop on and just race it, like you say, is tough. Like that triple in the first turn is tough, like to know if you should jump it or not. Cause if it's depending on the wind, I think it changes a lot of things on that track.
Yeah. And then like the girls can't pull that triple. So it's it's rough. Like mid-bump, we just launch into the turn.
The backside's pretty steep, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And into the second turn as well.
Yeah, both those actually too. Those are big ones to pull onto.
Yeah.
Oh, my turn. I think we kind of asked this, but Rowdy Mirrors, what are the goals for the season? For this season specifically. Do we kind of answer?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing. Just build off the progression I've already made. Stay consistent with results wise. Win a USA BMX race and everything, and yeah, hopefully Olympics.
Emerson Fleming, favorite place BMX has taken you?
Good question.
Probably, I really liked Scotland. Scotland was cool.
Yes.
So.
Either you guys watch Peaky Blinders?
Yeah. I watched most of the first season, but then I just...
The Peaky fucking Blinders, yo. Yeah, dude, you gotta watch. It's so good. I'm rewatching it for like the third time right now. It's fucking awesome.
Speaking of Netflix, James, there's been a spinoff to Money Heist that I binged in 2 days called Berlin. It's excellent.
Yeah, I watched that as well.
Did you watch it? It's good.
Yeah.
So James, I was thinking about this. I need an answer why you haven't trusted my judgment and watched Money Heist.
Money Heist specifically, I can answer that because I tried watching it with a friend the other day. It's because I don't like when it's dubbed over.
I understand that, but how long did you give it?
I gave it an episode.
And okay, it's a good show. I think it starts off slow, but it gets good.
Give it three episodes and you'll be hooked. Give it two.
Can I watch it from like the new season only? Do I have to watch the first season? It's separate, right? Like Berlin is different.
You don't have to watch Money Heist to watch Berlin.
Okay.
But all right. Dude, just watch Money Heist is better. Like just watch Money Heist.
Money Heist is better than Berlin?
Well, I mean, they're different, but I would say. Right. Would you say, Lexi?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it my
dude, seriously, you'll get past the dubbed over because the series is so electric.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll just forget about it. Yeah.
Just quit being a baby and watch it. Seriously, you'll like it.
It's like I really watch their mouths when they're talking, you know? It's just a really... No,
I know, who cares?
Yeah. I'll give it a try. I will give Money Heist a try for two episodes and we'll check in next show.
Thank you.
Yeah, deal.
Emerson Fleming, favorite track?
I'd probably say, I mean, I know I said Scotland, but I'd say Glasgow not the old Glasgow, this Glasgow, because I feel like it's a challenge and it's different. There's not like really a track like it. So I kind of like that aspect of it. And I wasn't, you know, we went out there early and yeah, we had to do a couple training sessions on it to be comfortable on it. So I think I think that's cool when the track is just challenging like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Too many people these days, we're just riding easy tracks. Everyone's riding it for too long before. It's brutal.
Right? I know.
From the same person, they asked...
He left seven questions.
He's really a big fan.
He must be a Lexi fan. Yeah.
Yeah. What advice would you give to someone new getting into BMX? What advice would you give to a young girl in BMX today?
I mean, honestly, I'd say just riding your bike as much as you can if you want to get better. You know, meeting a group of friends that you can ride with to, you know, get better together. make it fun, everything like that. So, yeah.
From the Desert Destroyer, Delaney Vaughn, favorite out of favorite out of the country trip so far.
Probably our Turkey, Scotland, Poppendal trip. That one was super fun.
That's a good one.
But it was long.
Yeah, that was long,
that,
you said?
Yeah, that sounds like a long one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long
one. It was long, but it was fun for sure.
I'm going to ask one of my questions that I haven't asked for a long time. I had like a handful of like hard hitting questions, deep questions that I asked, and I'll ask one of them only every show, but I forgot to keep doing it. My question is, what attribute about yourself do you think has made you as successful as you are in the sport?
Oh, I think my mindset, honestly. I have gotten like complimented on it a bunch, but I usually try and just see the silver lining and everything, you know, like when I have a bad race, it's, I can't do anything about it at that point. So I just try and use it as motivation in my training and not let myself get too hard on myself. Obviously we all get upset after racing, but I try not to focus on all the bad. Obviously we review and everything like that, what we can work on, but I try to view it and in like a positive light of things.
That's an awesome answer. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Chipotle or In-N-Out?
In-N-Out. Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Everyone has their own opinion, but some people's opinions are wrong, you know?
Yeah, we haven't had a whole lot of In-N-Out answers lately, I feel like.
That's upsetting, honestly.
I know.
Yeah, I love In-N-Out. So the idea, I will always say In-N-Out.
Yeah, it's pretty unmatched.
Yeah. I hate how all the races are East Coast because I can't get my In-N-Out for the weekend.
Have you had Shake Shack?
Yeah, I love Shake Shack too.
So good, right?
I just put Spencer Ron's Shake Shack in Florida. They had one and I made him go.
That's what I'm talking about. It's so good. It's better than In-N-Out.
Which burger do you get?
I get the single now, just a single. I tried the double, but I didn't like the patty to bun to everything else ratio. So I get two
Shake
singles.
Shack, though, you got to get the avocado bacon burger.
There's an avocado bacon burger?
Yeah, it's legit.
All right, Tori, that's your kind of burger there. Avocado, bacon. You can ask for your extra crispy bacon, dude. There you go.
I got to say, I've had it three times. I think I've had it every time at an airport. The last two times I tried it was Denver, and they're just a dumpster fire of an organization there. I make a terrible burger. I'm not going to go there again. So I need to try it. I need to try like an out of airport.
Yeah.
I need to try an out of airport.
Yeah, that's fair. You have one in San Diego, dude. I went there by myself one night when I was
Where is it?
I don't know. I was on the way home from the track one night when I was riding there like a couple years ago, and I was coming back to your place, and I stopped by myself just to go get Shake Shack.
From San Diego? You're on the way back from San Diego?
Yeah, I might have taken a big detour, but I definitely went to one.
Just drove down to Tijuana and got one?
Basically, yeah.
I got to look one up, and I'm going to go to it.
Okay, next question. You're in a semifinal in Tulsa at the World Cup. You have three chainring bolts or three stem bolts. Which one are you choosing? You have to get a top four.
Probably three chainring bolts because you don't do that much pedaling on that track.
There we go. Love it.
All right, same case, you're probably done.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Yeah. Okay, if you you're in fifth in the semi in Tulsa going to the last corner at the World Cup. You got to park someone in the last corner. Who are you putting over the corner?
Destroyer, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, great answer. No hesitation. Quick as shit, that answer. Loved it.
I know she could take my heat, though.
Had it teed up.
We should get the dirt on the Spice Girls. Like, who's the most annoying on the trips?
Oh, man.
Let's start throwing people under the bus here.
Come on.
Who's your normal roommate?
We honestly switch it up a bunch. So okay. I roomed with Peanut, Kenzie, and Delaney.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's not a morning person?
Kenzie. Kenzie's not a morning person.
Who's the biggest night owl?
Kenzie.
Same thing.
Usually it goes hand in hand. If someone stays up late, they typically won't get up in the morning.
I'd say Ava is the most morning person, though. She's always up early.
Hey, she's young, just wakes up with a ton of energy, ready to pin.
Oh, yeah. Ready. Ready to go.
Favorite Netflix or streaming device show or streaming service show?
Should I just say Money Heist just to get James to watch it?
It's Peaky Blinders. What day is it? No, it's Tuesday.
Good one too. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to say maybe. Oh, I really liked Ozarks though.
So that's a top five for me.
Yeah, Ozarks is really good.
Yeah. Really good one, Tori. That's it. Might be a little dark for you, Tori.
I know, might be. A little
if you could be doing anything other than BMX racing, or you had to be doing anything else other than BMX racing, what would it be?
Probably. I don't know. I'm scared of like any other sport with like a ball involved. I can't do that. But probably going to school for like. Physical therapy or something. It's just too much right now though.
Yeah, it'd be a lot. That's a lot of schooling, I feel like, too.
Yeah.
If you could be pro in another sport, what would you pick?
Supercross if there was a girls' league.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, nice. That'd be good.
Supercross would be sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch a race on the weekend?
I did. Yeah.
It was boring. It was Jet made it boring.
Yeah.
Come on.
I hope the season's not all just a one-man show. I mean, the season's so stacked now. I thought that it was going to be like a five-man battle, but it just was not at all.
He has the potential to make it a very boring series.
Yeah, yeah. I hope some of these other boys just got a fire lit under them now and just want to go after it.
Yeah, you can't really judge off the first race.
Yeah.
Who's your guy?
Alexi, thank.
Oh, Kenny. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay. Fair.
He was looking good in the heat race too. Oh, so good. That
yeah, he's good for like 5 to 10 laps, and I'll drop back to 10th.
Maybe that's not this rude, year, dude. Though. That's rude. You never know.
You need a guy to sprint for 5 minutes. Kenny's the guy. Alexi, we appreciate you coming on. Good to catch up, and best of luck this year.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it, Alexi. All thank right. you. Good luck this season. See ya.
Ooh.
Alexis Colby.
Alexis Colby, everybody.
Great gonna to catch do up. Well in Phoenix. Gonna do well in Phoenix end of the month.
You think she wants to get a pro series win? You think it happens there? How cool would that be?
Yeah.
I think that'd be really sick to get it there at Black Mountain, especially if she's been riding there a lot. Bubba's there, you know, Arizona kid. That'd be cool.
Nothing like starting the pro series off at your home track, huh?
That'd be so cool. Yeah, having a good. Race at Sleeping your home your track bed. Would be cool.
Never really got to experience it, to be honest. Nope. Once.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for us.
Thanks to ProGate Europe. Winning starts the Great Gate. Alexis Colby, great start on a ProGate Europe.
They call her Lightning Lexi for a reason. There's a reason why her bike's name is now Bolt. The colorway is Bolt. You know, you got to get a great gate. You got to go practice on one. Get your ProGate Europe's today. It's just phenomenal. They've been with us. We're with them. Let's go.
Snap on Green. We'll be back next week.
Snap on Green, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, Iron. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.